This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Daled, Mishnah Daled. We learned in Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, that an earthenware utensil only becomes Tame if the Tumah source is placed within the Klicheres. And so if you have a typical Klicheres, and let's say it's shaped basically like a bottle, it's simple to identify where the Toch is. Where's the inside? That continues all the way up until the top, the rim of the bottle. That's only if the Tumah source goes below the upper lip of the rim would the Kli Cheres become Tame. Ramish discusses, let's say we have a Kli Cheres sheyesh lo shalosh svayos, earthenware utensil with three rims around its mouth. You have the inner one around the opening itself, but then perhaps for decorative purposes, another two rims that surround the regular rim, and there is space between each of the rims. And so at issue is, let's say the Tumah source enters the airspace in between the rims, say between the inner one and the middle one, or the middle one and the outer one. The Mishnah says, the halacha here depends on the particular arrangement of the rims, so how exactly these two rims are designed in terms of the comparative heights of the rims. The Mishnah says, "Hapnimis odefes," if the innermost rim is higher than the other two, in that case, the inside of the utensil is limited to being within the proper rim, the rim around the actual opening. The fact that you have these other shorter rims that sort of stick out there does not expand the toch to those rims. It's essentially like you're putting some kind of a flower, lower down along the stem of the bottle. The toch does not extend to those outer rims at all, and thus hakol tahar. Everything beyond the interior of the innermost rim is not mekabel tumah. If the tumah source goes between the inner rim and the middle one, or between the middle one and the outer one, the kli cheres does not become tameh because none of those areas are considered to be within the kli cheres. If, however, hachitzono defes, if the outer rim is higher than the other two, well, then just the opposite, a kol tameh. Everywhere, even starting from that outer rim and going inside, is considered the interior of the kli cheres, and as a result, if its source of tumah goes anywhere inside, even that outermost rim, the kli cheres will become tameh. Because if the outermost rim is higher than the other two, and that means that the outer walls of the kli extend upwards to form that outer rim, and so fundamentally, once you're under that outermost rim, you're already inside of the kli. So if a tumah source gets in there, the kli is tameh. And regarding ha'imtzayis odefes, if the middle rim is higher than the other two, well then, that becomes the toch. Inside the middle rim becomes the definition of inside of this kli cheres, and thus, mimena v'lefnim tameh. If a tumah source enters anywhere inward of that middle rim, the kli cheres becomes tameh, mimena v'lechutz tahar, but anywhere outside of the middle rim would not make the kli cheres tameh. So if a tumah source went in between the middle rim and the outer rim, the kli would not become tameh. As far as hayu shavos, if all of the rims were of equal height, in this case the halacha is disputed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, cholkin ha'mtzayis. Rabbi Yehuda says that the rabbinic stringency applies in this case that says that we extend the definition of the interior of the kli cheres to a little bit beyond the literal inside, that is, halfway beyond the outside of the inner rim, so meaning half of the space between the inner rim and the middle one, is considered to be inside of the kli cheres. If a tumah source goes there, the kli becomes tameh. As a kind of a safeguard, it seems to be a rabbinic stringency. However, v'chachamim omrim hakol tahar. Chum say that no, everything outside of the inner rim is tahar. If you put a tumah source there, the kli does not become tameh. For these additional rims are only a factor if either of them is actually taller than the inner rim. Otherwise, if you have like in our case where all the rims are the same height, then only within the innermost rim is considered to be actually inside of the kli cheres, and thus only if a tumah source is put there will the kli become tameh. And the halacha is in accordance with the chachamim. The Mishnah concludes with a general rule that pertains to kli cheres, and that is, kli cheres me'im asai mekablin tumah. At what point do earthenware utensils become susceptible to tumah? for Hara Kli Cheres form, you start with clay. Now, when you're dealing with just the raw clay form, that's considered clay adama. That's utensils made of earth, of clay. Clay adama are completely impervious to tumah. They can't become tumah. It is only mishi yitzarfu ba kivshan. It's only when they're shaped to a raw clay. It's fired in a kiln that it changes from a clay adama, which again are impervious to tumah, to clay cheres. Now, this thing that was hardened, or fired in the kiln, has the halachic status of a kli cheres v'igmar melachta, and that's the finishing act for a kli cheres. The fact that the potter is planning on doing some further smoothing or decorating after the object is fired on the kiln. Once that shaped clay has been hardened in the kiln, it is then considered a kli cheres, which is mekabel tumah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.